at that period in Britain. Number four, the Protestant Reformation and the Civil War, because of course it's very important that England, Britain is a Protestant country. That changes a lot of things, it makes a big difference, and so we'll be looking at why Britain is a Protestant country, what difference does it make, and so on and so forth. In week five, we'll be looking at the Industrial Revolution and the Empire, because of course, even bigger than the Roman Empire, accidentally, was the British Empire. The British Empire, in my opinion, a rather terrible crime against humanity, but very interesting. And finally, in week six, we'll be looking at the great changes of the 20th century, the two world wars, the economic boom, and the changes after that. Okay. Vous êtes obligé de prendre des notes et donc d'avoir un stylo et du papier devant vous. Sinon, je me sens tout seul. Si vous êtes vraiment allergique à prendre des notes, faites semblant. Ça me fait plaisir. Merci. OK. Entrez et attention au fil. OK, so, si tout le monde a un stylo et du papier, je peux commencer. On va bloquer la porte parce que ça... Attention au fil. C'est ailleurs. Voilà. OK, so, let's see what I could do. Je vais voir s'il est possible d'avoir des images. Ce n'est pas essentiel, les images. C'est simplement, comme avait dit, que la première année, sans images, vous êtes incapable de suivre. Alors, pas images, pas gentil, hein. J'ai fait quelques images. Alors, on avait quelque chose, mais on n'avait pas. Vous venez d'un autre cours, là ?
Oui, oui.
Ah oui, d'accord. Dans ce cas-là, je ne vais pas vous engueuler.
Thank you.
Écoutez, voilà, les images, c'est pour la semaine prochaine.
Let begin with then Britain and how long people have been living in Britain, in this island, this rather strange island. Well, the first humans were in Britain 500,000 years ago. That's a long time, 500,000 years. But the archaeology is much more recent. We have found villages 10,000 years old. Yeah, 10,000 years old. We have found some villages in Yorkshire. But the biggest change is 6,000 or 7,000 years old, the first farmers. Farming is the big revolution of prehistory. It's farming. When you learn to farm, it's no longer necessary to follow the animals everywhere they're going. You can stay in the same place. You can have a more complicated society. And that happened in Britain around 6,000 years ago. At this time was also built perhaps the most impressive monument in Britain. I'm talking about Stonehenge. You've probably seen the pictures of Stonehenge. Enormous rocks, which were transported more than 300 kilometres. We don't know how they transported them. They're enormous. So obviously, this means that society was quite organised, that they had the people and the money and the food to transport these enormous rocks. You must have seen them, yeah, they're like this, yeah. A circle of henges, a circle of doors, probably for, yes? Stonehenge. Yeah, Stonehenge is the biggest monument of prehistoric Britain. I have a picture, but the pictures don't work. Okay? It'll work eventually. We know that they moved them a long way away to 4,000 years ago. This is 4,000 years ago, Stonehenge. Also 4,000 years ago... Also, 4,000 years ago, the first metal workers in Britain, the first time they could work with metal and make things with metal. May I continue? Je vous dérange pas, monsieur? Monsieur, je vous dérange pas, non? Oh, c'est bien, excellent. Okay, right, the first metal workers about 4,000 years ago. But let's move on to the Celts. The Celts. The Celts were the people who lived in Britain when the Romans arrived. When the Romans first came, the Celts lived in Britain. And they were very good farmers, very interested in war. We have a lot of weapons. I have nice pictures of weapons. I have a lot of weapons of the Celtic armies. And then the Romans arrive. Okay, the Roman army arrives. Now, in many ways, Britain is a very interesting part of Roman history. Firstly, it is the last major victory of Rome. Yeah, Rome conquers many, many parts of Europe and the Near East, and Britain is the last big victory of Rome. Remember, the Roman Empire is 400-500 years. It's a very, very long empire. It lasts a long time. And Rome is the last major victory. But it's not a complete victory. The Scottish win against the Romans. It is impossible for the Romans to occupy the whole of Britain. Impossible. Every time they move up to the north... Vous venez directement de notre cours, là? Oui. Vous pouvez dire au prof d'arrêter à l'heure parce que ça va pas quoi. C'est ok. Pardon? Ah oui, c'est ah, bah. Tant pis pour moi. Ok. So what was Roman society like? First of all, Roman society was extremely violent. Extremely violent. Would you like to be a slave? Would you like to be a gladiator? No fun being a gladiator. A gladiator, really, though, extremely barbaric practice, not only in Rome, also in Britain. In Britain, they had Roman fights And if you were a rich Roman in Britain, you said, oh, I'm having an important party this weekend. 50 slaves will die in the sports. And if you were and the other person, oh, in my party, 100 slaves died. You know, there was a competition to have the best party, and the best party was where the most slaves died. That was the situation. Very, very hard. Of course, there were revolts. Occasionally, the slaves revolted against this. It's very difficult to revolt, very dangerous. Of course, the most famous revolt is Spartacus. C'est pas exactement comme dans le film, mais quand même. There were very serious revolts, and Spartacus defeated the Roman army several times in Italy. The Roman society was based on war. For 500 years of the Roman Empire, there was peace for only 50 years. For 450 years, Rome was officially at war. And they had a very expensive army. In 50 AD, en anglais on dit BC, avant notre ère, et AD, après Jésus-Christ. Okay, BC, AD. Yeah, AD. In 50 AD, the cost of the army was 50% of all the expenses of Rome. Yeah, everything they spent, housing, roads, aqueducts, etc., 50% for the army and 50% for everything else. Yeah, so that it was really a military society based on... was the military budget.
Vous imaginez aujourd'hui si le gouvernement dit d'abord finalement le budget militaire, on va en faire 50% du produit national. C'est beaucoup.
Okay, so, as I said, Britain was the last big victory of Rome, the last of its great invasions. What happened? AD 41 après Jésus-Christ. The Roman Empire of the time is... sorry, if you're arriving late, you can at least keep your mouth shut. Thank you. In AD 41, Caligula, the Roman Empire, is assassinated. And there is competition. Who will be empire? Two candidates. And the winner is Claudius. And there is a big power struggle inside the elites. Who will support the new empire? Emperor. Who wants another emperor? Etc. And the war on Britain is one of the elements of this conflict. Claudius is a new emperor, but he is insecure. He does not have enough support. And so, to impress the elites, he will go to war in Britain and have a glorious victory to help his position.
Who was assassinated?
Caligula. Caligula was assassinated. And Claudius was...
Je ne vous donnerai pas toute la liste des empereurs. Il y en a... La moitié se font assassiner, l'autre moitié est fou. Normal, yeah?
So, what happens? 40,000 Roman soldiers invade Britain, and they are victorious. Claudius is extremely happy. When he has a new son, his new baby son is called Britannicus. I will call him Britannicus to celebrate my victory against the British. And there is a big tour of Italy. The emperor goes around Italy having big parties. Saying, yeah, I am victorious, I have conquered Britain for Rome, I have conquered Britain for civilization. And in Britain, the Romans followed their traditional tactics. The Romans always used the same tactics. They arrived in a new country, okay, we have conquered you, you are all slaves, but you can be the local elites, and you group here, you can have all the riches of Rome, good wine, good housing, good roads, and the rest of you, well, you have to work and pay taxes. Yeah? In general, Roman occupation was not a good thing for ordinary people. But the Romans always integrated the elite. Yeah? The Romans were absolutely not racist. They were happy to integrate the local elite, black, white, doesn't matter. Yeah? They were absolutely not racist.
but they were very, very unfair to the ordinary people. Of course, it's not a wonderful time to live. It was rather difficult for the Romans because the Romans wanted a peaceful society. Slaves die, poor people work too hard, that's not a problem for the Romans. But they didn't want different tribes fighting each other. When they arrived in Britain, there were many, many different tribes, often fighting each other with swords and spears. And the Romans wanted to take these tribal chiefs, you are tribal warriors, and I want to make you into Roman gentlemen. And as you can see, there's a lot of work to be done, yes, to make warrior chiefs into Roman gentlemen. So the Romans tried to introduce the elites to theatre, roads, viaducts, beautiful monuments, beautiful sculpture, etc. Where it was very difficult in Britain because they were, you know, helmet, wearing a sword, just generally bloody sort of thing. The Romans built piazzas, baths, les bains, c'était très important à l'époque, vous rappelez, bon. L'essentiel de la population se lavait à la rivière quand ils se lavaient. Hein? So the baths and the temples, beautiful temples, all of these were built in Britain, especially between 75 and 150 AD. Between 75 and 150 AD is the golden age of Roman Britain. It's not a golden age for the poor, but it's a golden age for the elites. They also wanted to persuade the local elite not to carry swords. You know, the tribal leaders, they have their sword, yeah, always with your sword. And the Romans wanted Roman gentlemen, no, leave your sword at home. It was very, very difficult. This is the Pax Romana, the idea of the Roman peace. But it was successful, little by little it was successful, and it was no longer, there were no longer so many revolts. The last big revolt was in 61. In 61 AD, Boadicea, or Boudica, a female leader, a woman leader of the Celts, fought against the Romans. Yeah, the last big revolt against the Romans in Britain is Boadicea, or Boudica, is the same person. It was close. She nearly won. So very interesting, okay? This is un peu comme Jeanne d'Arc, mais 13 siècles avant. Yeah? A female soldier was the leader, the last leader of the Celts, but was lost. However, the Romans were not successful in conquering the entire territory. In Wales, Le Pays de Galles, and in Scotland, en Écosse, there was a whole section of the island which they were not successful. Let's look first of all at Wales. There was a long war in Wales from 44 to 78, war between the Romans and the local tribes in Wales. Now, the Romans were very interested in Wales because in Wales there was gold, silver, lead, le plomb, copper, le cuivre. Yeah, there were interesting minerals in the mountains. The Romans were very interested. But the agriculture in Wales was not very developed. Remember, Wales is mountains, little mountains, but still mountains. Difficult, surtout à l'époque, ils n'avaient pas de moutons. It's difficult to make a lot of money in Wales. And this was one of the problems. In fact, this is typical, because the Roman system depends on agriculture. I am the Roman. I arrive in an area, and I make a little elite, and all of you must work on the land. You eat a little bit, and all the rest you give to me in taxes. So if the agriculture is bad, the taxes are low. And if the agriculture is good, the taxes are high. This is why the Romans, the Roman Empire, stops when they arrive at the deserts of North Africa. The Roman Empire stops when they arrive at the thick forests of northern Germany. And when they arrive in Scotland and the mountains, There is not enough money. The army is too expensive. And the peasants are not producing enough to pay the army. So we stop, yeah. And this is fundamentally what happened. So let's look at the north, Scotland. Bien sûr, ça n'existait pas à l'époque. C'est là où il y a l'Écosse maintenant. Mais bon, c'est pas un pays à l'époque. There was a very long war. 70 years long. There was a war for 70 years against the Scottish tribes from 69 to 142. Originally, the Romans advance and then retreat and then advance and then retreat. It's a very, very long period of advancing and retreating. Remember, Scotland is much bigger than Wales. Scotland is very big. In fact, Scotland is bigger than England. Yeah, as it continues up to the north. And they attacked Scotland with 40,000 soldiers, 40,000 soldats. They attacked Scotland with 40,000 soldiers. And it was not enough. It was not enough to win Scotland. They really needed more soldiers. But it was impossible to have more soldiers because the Roman Empire was already in crisis. In other parts of Europe, there were different revolts, and so there were no extra soldiers to send to Scotland to win Scotland. In Turkey and elsewhere, there were revolts against the Roman Empire. In 117, the new emperor, Hadrian, H-A-D-R-I-A-N, Hadrian, the new empire had a new strategy. He realized there was not enough money to have war everywhere in the empire, and so he decided to consolidate. The war against Scotland became very quiet, and he built a wall, Hadrian's Wall, the Mur de Hadrien, Hadrian's Wall across Scotland to stop the. Instead of a war, there's no need to build a wall. If you are having an offensive war, you don't build a wall. Yeah. So a new tactics, defensive tactics. He built a wall. Et on voit encore le mur aujourd'hui. If you go on holiday to the north, you can see, or if you have a computer, you can see the pictures of the very interesting pictures of the
C'est pour boire, c'est les Celtes. Ça, c'est les chapeaux, les Celtes, les casques. Bon, le gladiateur, mais c'est pas un vrai. Les photos de l'époque. Ça, c'est pour transporter. Ce sont des hommes forts, c'est pour transporter l'huile. Et ils trouvent des milliers et des milliers comme ça, ce qui démontre qu'il y avait comme un stress développé. C'est comme ça qu'ils savent. Bon, ça, vous pouvez pas voir. Ça, c'est Boudicca, donc la chef des Celtes dans la dernière révolte contre les Romains. Et ça, c'est le mur de Hadrien. Donc le mur, nouvelle tactique, on ne peut pas gagner, alors défensif. Vous voyez un petit peu là-bas quand même, c'est un mur, voilà, c'est un mur. Et vous pouvez y aller, c'est sympa, le voir aussi. Et donc ça a survécu jusqu'à aujourd'hui. Voilà. J'ai bien fait de ne pas devenir informaticien.
Okay, so Hadrian's Wall and a new, the war continues, yeah? So the war against Scotland, in total the war against Scotland will last 140 years. A very, 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 very long war, yeah? Very, very, very long war. Hadrian builds his wall, and then the Scots take the wall. And then the Romans advance again 10 years later. A very, very long period. But in 180, the Romans are victorious for a moment, and the Romans are very happy, and they have a big celebration, and we have found many coins, de pièces de monnaie, with the head of the empire, the emperor, and Britannicus written on it. Yes, they used to make new coins with every victory. They make a new coin to show how important they are. And the next emperor, Severus, came to Britain and was determined to find the final solution to the north of Britain. Because it was very humiliating for the Romans to not succeed in conquering the whole of Britain. So Severus came to, and for 2 years there was a big war again against the Scots. And Severus, the emperor, said, "Let no one escape utter destruction at our hands. Let not the infant still carried in its mother's womb, if it be male, escape from its fate." Donc l'empereur dit, on va les tuer tous, même le bébé, s'il est encore dans le ventre de la mère, si c'est un bébé mâle, on va le tuer. Alors, pas gentil, hein? Generally, so a genocidal tactic, a genocidal strategy. But Severus, the emperor, died, and the Romans never tried again. It was long, it was bloody, but the Romans lost. The Romans lost, and they will never take the whole of Scotland. After that, then, for 75 years, we have peace in Britain. For 75 years, we have peace in Britain. New villas, new roads, new aqueducts, a lot of mosaics. Une des façons de savoir que ça allait bien pour l'élite, c'est les mosaïques très très chères, très complexes, qu'ils produisent à ce moment-là. There is some economic progress. The east of England, which was marshes, is drained. Tous les marais de l'est de l'Angleterre, qui étaient inutiles pour l'agriculture, c'est des marais. Ils ont drainé l'eau, avancé économiquement. And also, the Roman state organized gold mining in South Wales and lead mining. But again, to maintain this peace, the army was enormous, a very big army, much more than the tribal armies of the past. A lot of demand for food, demand for luxuries. Most of the commerce from Rome to England was for the elite, of course. It was not for the ordinary people. The peasants, les paysans, probably had to pay approximately 10% of their production in taxes. And also, they were often press-ganged. La méthode de recruter des gens à l'armée, c'est une méthode qui existait pendant au moins 2-3 000 ans. C'est tout simple, si vous baladez la nuit, vous vous réveillez, vous êtes à l'armée, quoi. C'est tout ça, on vous fait boire, et puis vous êtes à l'armée. And good luck, yeah? Very, very difficult. Au revoir. Je vais vous donner encore quelques images toutes petites. Oui, bon. These are the coins, ce sont les pièces de monnaie, donc avec la mention Britannicus, I think, yeah. Ça c'est un peu plus tard en fait, je vais parler maintenant de l'invention de la religion chrétienne. Parce que jusque là, until this point of course, the religion is the Roman religion. Mercury, Athena, lots of gods, big party, lots of gods. Of course, there is the most important god, Jupiter, but a lot of different gods. So in this situation where there is peace, most of the elite live in villas with many servants and farmers, we have then... In the 3rd century, or 3rd siècle, the 3rd century crisis. There is a big crisis in Rome originally. The elite is divided. One of the emperors, Caracalla, became emperor because he killed his brother. Yeah? Oh, it's not sure. Who will be emperor now my father is dead? Is it me or my brother? I kill my brother, it's me. Yeah? It's very good. C'était sympa, hein, les Romains. Yeah? Okay. Il est normal de vouloir tuer son frère, mais de le faire, c'est pas ça. Ça, c'est pas normal. Okay. And the following emperor was murdered by his own soldiers. This was the crisis was so important that in 50 years there were 40 official or unofficial Roman emperors. Et donc dans l'espace de 50 ans, il y avait 40 empereurs différents, certains officiels, certains officieux. This is what you call a big political crisis. And at this moment, 10% of all the Roman army is in Britain. So Britain is an important sector of the Roman Empire. 10% of the army is in Britain. The Roman Emperor came to Britain for 3 years. L'empereur à l'époque, il devait se déplacer. Hein? Parce qu'il fallait que les élites locales le voient. Ils ne vont pas le voir à la télé, ils n'avaient pas Skype. And so he had to move. He had to move to, I am here, I am the emperor. Yeah, and regularly had to move. And he came to Britain for 3 years. They reorganized Britain into two separate sections. Upper Britain, Britannia Superior, with the capital in York. And Lower Britain, Britannia Inferior. They rebuilt Hadrian's Wall. Ils ont reconstruit le mur de Hadrien. Okay, and at this moment, there was a big revolt in Britain. The section of the Roman army based in Britain revolted against the central government in Rome and established a rebel emperor. And his name was Carausius. Carausius. He was part of the Roman Empire in Britain. Et bien sûr, l'armée recrutée localement, hein? Alors souvent, c'est l'élite locale qui était dans l'armée romaine. Comme je disais, ils n'étaient pas du tout racistes. And so, Carausius declares himself joint emperor. Now, he has a big revolt and he says, I am emperor. I am not against the emperor in Rome. We are both emperor. And he produced many coins with Carausius and the official emperor together. Yeah, c'est un peu... c'est malin, mais bon. Because... he could organize the economy quite well. He got a lot of support. And the revolt lasted for 10 years. For 10 years, you had a rebel emperor who was in charge of Britain. But in 296... Bien sûr, vous imaginez, l'empereur à Rome prenait ça moyennement bien. Les empereurs, en général, ils n'aiment pas qu'il y ait un deuxième ailleurs. Ça ne branche pas du tout. So in 296, the emperor came from Rome with a big army and, of course, was successful. Okay, so this rebel emperor in Britain was really just one sign of a big crisis in the Roman Empire. In the 3rd century, the Roman Empire was in terrible crisis. The reason was the Roman Empire could only advance by expanding. We need more agriculture, more taxes, more army, more agriculture, more taxes, more army. And when they arrived at the north of Scotland, the north of Africa, it was impossible to expand anymore. And in fact, when you don't expand in this kind of system, it was on its way down. So more and more revolts, revolt in Germany, the Gothic tribes tried to defeat Rome. They lost, but they caused a lot of damage. And in 306, you have a new emperor, Constantine. And Constantine will become very important because he is going to establish Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire. Now, I live in the southwest of France, in Agen, and in the 2nd and 3rd century, the Christians were executed by the Romans in the southwest of France. Our cathedral in Agen, no, not the cathedral, the church at the end of my road is Saint-Hilaire. Saint-Hilaire, un des tout premiers martyrs du 3e siècle, à moins que je le confonde avec un autre. Voilà. So at the beginning, the Christians were executed by the Romans.
But little by little, when the Roman Empire was in crisis, the Roman elite decided, Christianity, it's quite a good idea. Now, there are two important questions. First of all, why did the Roman Emperor decide that Christianity was a good idea? It's not for theological reasons, really. If you have one God or a lot of gods, I'm not talking about your religion, just about religion in general. If you have one God or a lot of gods, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine to have a lot of gods or one God. You know, it works approximately. Sometimes. It sometimes works in both cases. Well, first of all, Christianity was now an international organization with a lot of intellectuals. À l'époque, intellectuels, c'est-à-dire des gens qui savent lire. Les niveaux sont beaucoup plus bas. And so for the Roman Empire in crisis, Christianity was extremely useful because they could have an international organization with a lot of people who could read and write and very motivated people.
Yeah, les premiers chrétiens, on peut pas le dire le contraire, ils étaient motivés. Motivé,
etc. Yeah, and so little by little, the Roman Empire in crisis will choose Christianity as a good idea. Now, there are other ways in which Christianity was a good idea, and Jewish religion was a good idea. In many ways, one God is simpler. It's easier to organize philosophy, etc., around one God. When you have a lot of gods fighting each other, it's really quite a complicated religion. Certainly, monotheism has an advantage. And generally, the progress goes from the very beginnings in magic. Yeah, every tree, every mountain has a little god. It's the very, very beginnings of religion. Every tree, every mountain, every cloud has a little god. And it's very difficult to understand. The next thing, polytheism, like the Romans, there are 10 gods, 20 gods. Sometimes they fight with each other. But life is a little bit more organized, easier to understand. And the third stage, monotheism, there is one God. So it was quite practice. It was quite practical. So how did Constantine do this? We have a new God, yes? You thought the Roman Empire was in a bad state, but we have a new God. Yeah, come, yes. Stay with us, we can give you a new God. A lot of money was given to the church. Millions and millions and millions, yeah? Many rich Romans died and gave all their wealth to the church. Also, if you wanted a good job, it was a good idea to be a Christian. Not in 150, it was a bad idea to be a Christian if you wanted a good job. In 300, it was a good idea to be a Christian if you wanted a good job. Yeah? Oh yes, we want Christians in all the best jobs. If you were an ambitious army officer, becoming a Christian was a good idea. And in fact, a lot of people became Christians for this reason. Just like in Eastern Europe after the Second World War, many people became communists because it looked like a good idea if you wanted a good job. Exactly the same situation. A lot of people say, I think I'll become a Christian. Yeah, all the Christians have good jobs. I think I'm a Christian now. Yes. And we have then Constantine, who will establish Christianity as the elite religion. And this is the symbol of Christianity, this P with an X. This is Constantine, the emperor, who made Christianity the official religion. And this P and this X is the official symbol of Constantine. Here you have a mosaic, very expensive mosaics, again with a saint and the same symbol behind it. That's just a map. Maps, you can't see them, they're too small. What else do we have here? And I think that's all I have to show you on the picture slides. That was quick, wasn't it? This is how we know. One of the ways that we know that Christianity was the religion of the elites is that when they died and they were buried, they had stone coffins, mausoleums, with Christian symbols everywhere. You can see them in the museums, in the Louvre, même dans le petit musée à Jean. So at this moment, Christianity is
the religion of the urban elites. And little by little, the pagan religion, la religion païenne, is declining. And you see that the temples are not rebuilt, and people become Christians. At the same time, the general crisis of the Roman Empire means that there is a crisis in building in Roman Britain. Nobody is building new baths. Nobody is building new villas. And we can see this because the archaeologists go and try to find the villas, and they can date them with the carbon 14. They can date them and they can say, oh yes, in this period there were many new villas. But in this period, no, there were not very many new villas. And so there is a crisis of building. Building is going down. And secondly, there is a change in the military situation. Change in the military situation. So for Roman Britain, you have the three phases. The first phase, where there are still a lot of revolts by the Celts and others against the Romans. The second phase, where after hundreds of years, there is relative peace. Yeah, a lot of civilian building, a lot of temples, a lot of baths, a lot of viaducts, etc. And the third period, where there is the beginnings of invasions from Denmark, from northern Germany. And these will be the invasions of three important groups: the Angles, ça va donner le mot anglais, the Saxons, les Saxons, les Anglo-Saxons, les Angles, les Saxons, yeah, and the Jutes. Je sais pas ce qui s'est passé aux Jutes, tout le monde les a oubliés, mais en principe il y avait trois groupes: Angles, Saxons, and Jutes, and they will be beginning to attack the east of England at this period. Now, how do we know? It's very, very difficult. Yeah, we don't. We have some writings from the Romans. Some they didn't write with no computers. Yeah, so we have some writings, but most of the information we have about this period is from archaeology, and when they look at the archaeology of the towns on the east of England, they discover something very interesting. The second century wood. All of the buildings, the barrier around the town is built in wood. Now, if you build a barrier around your town in wood, you are not very frightened. No? It's not very good. In the third century, stone around every town, stone battlements, stone defences, important defences. If you go to York, in the north of England, you can still see today that the walled town, the walls, big, huge, thick walls, yeah, 5 meters thick, yeah. And finally, in the east of England, which side of the town was the biggest, strongest defences? The east. So these are invasions coming from the sea. These are invasions coming from the sea. The Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes, and of course the Vikings as well. It's all the same sort of groups up there. Now, the original attacks from the east are not an invasion. The people who arrived are not intending to stay. They are intending to find a village, kill everybody, take all the gold, and go home. C'était un baston à l'époque, c'est un peu comme les jeux vidéo. Il faut bien qu'ils s'amusent, ils n'ont pas des Sims. Okay, and so that is the beginnings of the attacks from the east. Okay, that's most of what I have to say about Roman Britain. Ça s'est passé un petit peu plus vite parce que je ne pouvais pas décrire en détail les images. Alors, je vais arrêter dans 2 minutes. Don't forget to look at the blog where I will put you these pictures for example. I will put you some pictures and other things. And also, surtout si l'anglais c'est un peu difficile, faut suivre en lisant un livre d'histoire, ou bien en anglais de Kenneth Morgan, ou bien en français de Roland Marks. Question. Vous en voulez un comme ça? Tout à l'heure, je vous en donnerai. Peut-être, si vous êtes chanteur. Okay, any more questions? Otherwise, we're going to stop there for today. Okay, ça s'est passé un peu plus vite que prévu, mais c'est comme ça. J'ai plus de mal, je ne peux plus rien dire. Thank you very much. I'll see you next week, and I will try to organize the extra class, so we will have 6. Les gens qui n'ont pas le programme, j'en ai beaucoup.
Il y a d'autres qui n'ont pas jusqu'à que... Et je vais essayer de faire marcher les images.
Des petits compléments, tout à fait. Des compléments et des trucs. Et l'autre chose que j'ai compris, que vous n'avez pas vu, mais...